something to start with, being that it's Christmas time, as we all know, is coming up. And as we all prepare and get ready for our families coming in and being with people that maybe we haven't seen in a while, and it's a time where everybody, Christian and non-Christian alike, they celebrate, and a lot of times they sing the Christmas songs, and I always think it's interesting to see people who don't believe in God, don't care about God at any other time of the year, yet they'll sing Christmas songs that clearly give the gospel and talk about Christ, and I just think it's kind of interesting to see that. And what we'll talk about here is we're going to talk about the name of God. Wonderful Counselor. And of course, the verse that this is taken from is a pretty well-known verse, used in Handel's Messiah there, that the music that he wrote in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And we have several names here, or titles in this passage of God. What we're going to focus on today is Wonderful Counselor. And before I go on to the lesson, and as far as the Christmas songs, I know I said it's interesting to see non-Christians and people who don't believe in God singing the Christmas songs. But you know what's also interesting is seeing Christians who claim to be Christians singing the Christmas songs, yet as they live their lives, they don't live their lives according to the songs. And how many times have we as Christians sitting in the pews singing hymns or Christmas carols or Christmas songs about Christ, just sing the words, just sing empty words, just because that's what we're supposed to do, and don't grasp the meaning. And so take this time, when you're with your family, you're in services, the candlelight services or any services you might go to that they have singing, or you sing with your family. When you sing those songs about Christ, remember, think of the words as you sing them, and don't just be those. Don't be like those all the people in the world this time of year who are singing them just because that's the thing to do, but sing them because he's your Savior, and he's the one who's came for you, and that's what we're celebrating Christmas for. But the Wonderful Counselor, we'll go on, and starts out, the word wonderful could be defined full of wonder. Am I messed up there on the, that's all one blank there. Full of wonder, which could just as easily be translated amazing, incredible, miraculous, or spectacular. Now the word counsel is knowledge or understanding. So a counselor is one who imparts that understanding or knowledge. Somebody that is able to not only knows things, not only is wise and knowledgeable himself, but is able to impart that knowledge to others, and is able to transfer that knowledge and transfer that wisdom. That's a counselor. And it's to be defined as a wonderful counselor. One would have to be able to impart amazing, incredible, highly unusual, miraculous, spectacular knowledge or wisdom to others. Now, that with the words used in combination, it's not just a counselor who can impart wisdom, but it's a counselor who can impart, miraculous, incredible wisdom. And that's how God is described here. This name is not shared by men. We have counselors, and you could be a counselor, or you could, you go to school to learn how to counsel with people, or as a pastor of a church, or maybe in your family, somebody goes to you and you give counsel. We can be counselors in a certain way, God is not just a counselor. God is not just one who gives out counsel, and it's something. A wonderful counselor. Counsel is something he possesses, something that he is. He gives that out, but it's more than that. It's an attribute of God that he's a counselor. He does not just distribute the counsel. He is counsel. He's not a counselor. He is the counselor. He's the one where all other counsel comes from. The counsel, the wisdom, the teachings that we learn in church, and maybe even we go to a secular counselor or a secular psychiatrist who gives counsel. All that counsel, anything, any wisdom, any wise statement, you look at all the quotes of men throughout the years, and you think of all the wise things, the stories that are told with wisdom, little bits of wisdom or truth, fables, things that impart teaching and wisdom. All of that is originated from God. He's the one who supplies any smart, clever scholar, any person in the past who's had thought a great thinker. All that has been given by God, the great and wonderful counselor. So let's not, in some areas of our life, some of us who are teachers or are in an opportunity to give counsel to others, let's not forget where that counsel comes from. Let's not forget that, any wisdom that I might have or any wisdom that I might have gleaned over my years of experience as far as growing up or I'm talking about everyone. Everybody's in a different position here in this room right now. Everybody has gone through different things. Everybody is a different point in their life and therefore have gleaned or have gained some wisdom because of the things that you've gone through. Well, that's not how easy it is to take that and say, well, I know this and I've been through this. Well, who put you through that? Who gave you the strength to endure that? Who gave you the wisdom to be able to learn from what you went through? The wonderful counselor. So let's not forget that. As we impart that wisdom to others, as we share that counsel when we have the opportunity, let's not forget where counsel originates from. The wonderful counselor. Our counselor has the answer to every question. In fact, he knows every question. He doesn't just have the answer to every question. He knows what every question is, even before we ask it. From the infinite wisdom and knowledge that are God's, we receive instruction or counsel. The counsel of God can also be called the revelation of God. Since God knows all things and possesses no limited power, he must reveal this truth, knowledge, and wisdom to us, or we will have no counsel. If God doesn't reveal it to us, if God didn't give us the Bible, his scriptures, if God didn't give us men of God who study and who he's chosen to share and to teach his word, if God hasn't given us creation, and we'll talk about all these things in a few minutes, but if he hadn't given us that counsel, we would have none. We would have no wisdom. We would have no knowledge. We can't gain it on our own. I don't care who in the world says that I brought myself, I pulled myself my own bootstraps, I'm a self-made man. No one's a self-made person because God's given you the breath to breathe, to live. God's given you the sight to see, to learn. God's given you you can't take credit. We as people, as Christians, as humans, can't take credit for anything that we gain or anything that we know or anything that we excel in because God has given us everything that we needed to excel to that point. So from God's wisdom, from God's knowledge, he's given and provided us with that. And we would not have it except by God. I'm going to turn to Hebrews. There's a couple of scriptures listed there. I'm just going to read Hebrews 6:17. You can turn if you want. Says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God wants to show his counsel. God wants to teach us. He wants to share his wisdom. He wants to share his knowledge. He wants to help his children be successful in their life. And that's why he wants you to learn. He wants you to read his word and to gain from the knowledge that he has and the wisdom that he has. He not only possesses all knowledge, not only possesses all wisdom, but he desires to share it with us. And he does that through his counsel, and that's why he's the wonderful counselor. Next page here says, God has provided his counsel in various ways. And this is what I talked a little bit about a minute or two ago. First, through his creation. You see in Genesis and the verses there, and you look at the different scriptures that talk about God's handiwork in his creation and how everything is fearfully and wonderfully made and the order that he puts into the universe. And you'd be a fool not to look around and look at our bodies, how they're made, and look at the just the laws of nature, and not know that there's a intelligent designer of this. This didn't just happen by mistake. It wasn't just an accident. It couldn't happen this way. And we can look at the creation, and that's one way God reveals his counsel to us. And not only in the fact that there's order, but in the Bible, God even in the Lord even points to his creation as examples to learn from. And we look in Proverbs, and I won't read it all, but Proverbs 30 is the chapter that talks about the ants and the conies and the locusts and the spider, and look at these creations, look at these animals, what they do, these insects. They do things a certain way, and nature itself reveals certain principles and wisdom and knowledge that we can learn from just looking at how the animals react and how the just different laws of nature and everything is constantly breaking down, the law of thermodynamics and things don't get better. Our life doesn't get better just by accident, and nothing in nature proves that things get better by just leaving them alone. You got to work on things. You know, your cars break down. I mean, the houses fall apart. Gardens won't grow unless you keep them up. And everything in nature shows that we need to work. To be successful, we need to work on things, and we need to work at it. And we can take that knowledge and that wisdom that God reveals in nature and apply it to our lives. Our Christian life is not just going to happen by mistake. It's not just something that comes naturally. It's not something, a good family, a good, sound, close family is not something that happens. A good marriage, a successful church, successful business. Anything that we do in life is not just going to happen, and we can look at that by the way nature reveals itself. Everything is constantly breaking down. Everything is falling apart. Everything is getting worse and worse, not better and better. And if we take those laws, take those things in creation, and look and consider that, we can gain wisdom from that. You know, we're so busy now, and we get so caught up in going here and doing that, and, you know, before you know it, the day's over, and then the week's over, then the month's over, and guess what? It's December 2009. You know, where'd the year go? And we go through that, we go day by day through the day, and we just ignore everything, and we do, you know, what has to be done. We need to slow down, take a little time to look around, and maybe there might be some wisdom there that we can learn from nature, from things around us, if we would just take the time to learn. So God reveals his counsel through creation. Secondly, he reveals it through his spoken or heard word. And in Bible, before they had the Bible complete, God would send angels, and even himself occasionally would appear and would have visions and dreams that he would reveal his will, reveal wisdom, reveal knowledge. And now we have the complete scripture, where that's not really necessary for him anymore. But he still reveals his knowledge and wisdom and counsel through spoken word by the men of God that he's chosen, by the pastor of the church, by those who teach Sunday school, the missionaries, evangelists that come through, other counselors set up in leadership positions. God still reveals his counsel through spoken word. And that's the importance of being in church whenever possible. You know, whenever the doors are open, whenever there's occasion to be here, we can gain counsel from the man of God who's taken the time to study, whose God has chosen to reveal certain things to him. And we can learn from that counsel. And it's not necessarily pastor's wisdom, because God's anything that pastor has learned, again, through his life experiences or through studying the Bible, God has allowed him to learn. That knowledge, that wisdom, that counsel has been given by God. So when he speaks, or when a missionary comes through, or an evangelist comes through and speaks, that wisdom or that counsel that they have to offer is God's spoken word, God's spoken counsel that we can learn from and gain that knowledge and be able to, not only to for our own good, but to pass on to others and to be a counselor to others who in their time of need. So God reveals his counsel through his creation. God reveals his counsel through his spoken word. And finally, the most importantly, because, you know, creation may be open for interpretation at some point. You know, well, I think, you know, this means this, I think it means that, and sometimes you can argue about something. Even the spoken word, sometimes, you know, I you know, this pastor, this man of God is, you know, I don't know, he's kind of crazy in this, or this book has got some good stuff in it, but, you know, I don't really believe everything this guy says. And sometimes, you know, we have to discern a little bit, and it takes the Holy Spirit to discern and to hear when we hear spoken counsel, or, you know, but the written word of God, you know, is written, and we can trust anything in the Word of God, anything in the Bible, the counsel that's given there. We don't have to worry about interpreting it one way or another. We don't have to worry about whether it's right or whether it will work. The written Word of God is the counsel that we can depend on fully. And there's a counsel that we can check all of the counsel by. If you see something in nature and it doesn't agree with the Word of God, then the Word of God is right. If a missionary comes through, or an evangelist, or you're traveling on vacation and you hear another man of God say something and it does not agree with the Word of God, then you can take and trust the Word of God, because that's the final authority, and that is where all true counsel comes from. That's His complete Word, His Scripture that He's provided for us that has His wonderful counsel in it. So let's talk about His Scriptures. Through the Word of God, we have the mind of God, or thinking facility. This is how God thinks. If you want to know how God thinks about a certain situation or a standard or a philosophy, you want to know how God thinks about it, read the Bible. That's His mind. This is the mind of Christ. It's His Word, and we can know how God thinks. You know, something else is important about when we're talking about counselors and the difference between what God is and sometimes what we look at as humans is, there's been a lot of, I guess you'd call them scholars or great thinkers or people that have had wisdom and maybe, you know, have thrown a tidbit out, but they're very learned people and they've studied and they have a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge. They're, I guess we'd call a scholar or on that sort. But not all the time. That's not, okay, it benefits yourself, you know a lot of things, but we're not sitting here on earth to better ourselves necessarily. We're here to help others, and that's got to be, I mean, yes, we want to better ourselves, but if all you ever do is better yourself and don't help any other person in life, you live a pretty shallow life there. And it's not only good to be a scholar and to know things and to know God's wisdom, But a counselor not only knows that, but is able to pass that on to others, and is able to explain that, and is able to teach that. And that's what God is. He's not just a scholar that knows everything. He's not just an omniscient God who knows everything, but, you know, you guys figure it out for yourself. You know, I'm God. I know everything. I know all there is to know about wisdom. I know it all. But, you know, I'm going to let you figure it out on your own. I'm going to let you, you know, just... you know, fend for yourself. That's not how God is. God wants to share that counsel. God wants to help us learn. And as Christians, following the example of God and the example of Christ, is yes, we need to learn. We need to learn that counsel and take it and learn the wisdom and study in ourselves and read the Bible and study the Bible. But we need to be able to share that with others in just as simple as the gospel. The gospel, we need to be out sharing with people. I'm not a good speaker, I'm not a good, I don't know how to counsel people, I don't feel like I'm worthy enough the truth is nobody's worthy enough, but I don't feel like I know enough to be able to share that with people. Well, first of all, fix that problem and learn and be able to do that. But, you know, it doesn't take a lot of knowledge, doesn't take a lot of speaking ability to be able to share the gospel, to share what happened with you, and share that wisdom, and share that counsel to those around you who don't know. So we need to take that. We need not only learn for ourselves, but share, just like God does. Not only does He know everything, but He wants to share that with us. So He reveals through Scripture. God has recorded truth, wisdom, and knowledge according to His spoken word. Therefore, all the word is true. It is full of His wisdom, therefore it's true wisdom. Talking about the Bible here, is true wisdom, because it's full of God's wisdom, and God is truth. The Word of God is full of His knowledge. God is truth, so it's true knowledge. Hence, the counsel of God in His Scriptures. 2 Peter talks about the Word of God is a permanent record of His divine revelation to man. The written counsel of God is esteemed higher than even the spoken Word of God. And that's where I go back to say, you hear something some time and you think, well, something doesn't sound right with what that man said, or what that missionary, or what I heard on the radio, or that TV preacher. I'm not sure if that necessarily. You can go to the Bible and you can check that, because God's written word, He esteems even higher than His spoken. So we need to. That's why, you know. Well, I go to church. I don't really need to read my Bible. I go to church. I hear the man of God preach. I get the counsel of God. You know, I read my Bible once or twice a week. Every time the pastor reads from the scripture, you know, the text for a sermon. That's me read my. That's my Bible reading for the week. But we need to go and we need to study on our own, because God's word is important. And just once or twice a week is not going to help us to give us the counsel that we need to live our lives as successful as we can be. The providence of God. Another way God reveals His counsel is through the providence of God. Definition: the divine guidance and intervention of God in the affairs of His creation. God's immanence, which defines His position, mandates that God be active in and through His creation. And again, I've said this before. We talked about other names of God, how He's a God of comfort, and He's a God who's willing to help you through your hard times. How many other religions out there and cults and religions have a God that they pray to, they worship, and they sacrifice for, and they do all these things for Him, but He never does anything for them? He doesn't provide them with any comfort. Their gods don't provide them with any guidance, their so-called gods don't interact with them. They don't interact with their God. It's a one-way street. Well, our God, the true God, He's a counselor, which means He wants to have that interaction. When you go to counsel, yes, there's a point where the counselor gives his wisdom. But before the counselor can give his wisdom, there's usually a dialogue from the person going to get counsel. This is what's wrong. This is where the problem I'm having in my life. This is what I can't get over. I had this in my life, and I just can't get past it. Or our marriage is just not working. And here's what's wrong. Or my family, the children. We have this problem. And what can you help? There's a dialogue between there and a counselor. It's not always just a one-way street. And that's how God wants. He wants us to come to Him and ask and seek His counsel, and He will give it to us. And He will impart that. And He takes, not only in speaking, but in providence, in the way He interacts with our lives, things that He does, circumstances that He brings about, and the way that He moves other things in our lives around, we can see His counsel through that. And again, it goes back to, if we don't take the time to recognize when God's moving in our lives and when God has blessed us, we could be missing out on counsel, on wisdom that He has to offer. And by brushing that under the rug and answers the prayer and God moving providentially in our lives, and we see this, I don't understand how that, what a coincidence that was. And we just kind of brush those aside. By overlooking those things, how God works in our lives, we could be missing out on counsel that He has, or wisdom that He has to give to us. And because He gives counsel through His providence. Where's my last page? That's not it. There it is. So, gives counsel through Scripture, through providence. God uses circumstances under His control to manifest His divine revelation or counsel. His divine hand controls everything. Nothing happens by accident. There's no mistakes with God. Like I said, He knows the questions before we even ask them. He's aware of everything that's going on, and He moves in our lives to help us. As Christians, He's a good Father. He's a better Father than any father has ever been to any child, and He is more than willing to help you and to learn. To help you to learn what direction we should take in our life, and give us that counsel. His divine voice directs the ways of our hearts, and you can look these scriptures up. His divine word determines our assurances, and His divine counsel is seen in His divine direction to the saints and sinners. Now, a couple weeks ago, I taught And I told the story when we were in Turkey, and my brother, and we found that hotel out of the blue, and it was just, if you weren't there, I'm not going to tell the whole story again. But for the most part, this summer I was in Turkey and with my brother and a couple other missionaries, and we driving through a city. My brother had stayed in a hotel a couple years ago, and he didn't remember the name of the hotel, didn't remember where it was. We don't speak Turkish. We don't know. The guy we're supposed to meet there never is not returning our calls. So we just pull off into the city of, 5, 6 million people, and we're gonna find this hotel. No phone books. They don't have street names. They don't. It's ridiculous. I don't even know what we were thinking, other than the fact that it was late and we were tired and tired of driving. So we pull off in the city, and we stopped, and one thing led to another, and all of the details I won't go into. But we found that hotel. We walked. We were just walking randomly down the street, and we walked to the hotel that they were looking for. And you look at things in their life, and things like that, where obviously God has a hand in it, and we can, and when we see that, we can know that, well, I must be, a lot of times I look at the things that happen in our lives. We say, well, how do we know we're really doing the will of God? How do I know that this is where I'm supposed to be? How do I know that this is the direction I'm supposed to go in my life? Well, if we would just stop and take the time and look at what God has done and how He has moved in our lives and how He has taken events and done things that humanly we can't explain, and we can take that and use that as an assurance. Okay, I had no idea how this was going to work out. And I had no idea how this was going to happen, but God worked it out. So if God worked it out, it must be on some sort of right track. And we must have been in the right place at the right time for that to work out. And if we take those miraculous, providential events that God uses in our lives and learn from them, not just, oh, that was nice, that's why it's good to, if you can, keep a diary of answers to prayer, keep a diary of when something happens in your life, because humans are humans, and time and time again, examples in the Bible, we forget. And all through history, we forget. We forget the past. We forget what happened in the past. And we'll, if we can look back and remember wisdom, lessons that God taught us in the past that maybe we've forgotten, if we go back and relive some of those memories and think about those, how He moved in our lives, those lessons, that wisdom, that knowledge that we learned in that hardship or in that time where we were struggling and we saw God's hand move and God's hand moved and man, this is amazing. This truth was revealed to us. Maybe we were going through something difficult in our lives and as we were reading the Bible, something just jumped out at us that we'd never seen before and we learned it. Years have gone by and we've kind of forgotten. If we can go back to those times and remember God's moving in our lives, we can refresh that counsel that He's given to us. And that's what it's talking about. That's one of the reasons God moves in our lives and moves and does things and interacts, because it allows us to look back at times in our lives and events, because when you look back at an event, it's much easier to remember things. How many times in your life have you been going through something maybe enjoyable, you're on a vacation or something like that, and you want to take pictures, you want to take video, because last time you didn't, and there was a lot of great things we did, but I can't remember anything. And you sit there and you wonder what you did, and you want to take pictures, you want to take the video, and you want to have those memories, because our minds, that's the way our minds are. We forget. That's why God moves in our lives. So we can have times in our life where we can remember lessons that He's taught us, counsel that He's given to us, and that we can take that and refresh that in our minds. The Holy Spirit of God, finally, also imparts counsel. Led by the Spirit, He will guide thee continually. The Lord Jesus promised us divine counsel from the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the other important thing that we have going into a sermon, going into church. A lot of times you go to church and we hope or we pray that the pastor would be filled with the Spirit of God, that his words would be God's words, and the Spirit would move him to speak. How many times would you go into church and pray that the Holy Spirit would move you to hear the words that he'd have you hear? You know, just as the man of God or the preacher or the whoever is giving that counsel needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit to provide the counsel that the Spirit would give him, we as Christians, as those sitting in the pew or in the chairs or in the Sunday school class, wherever it might be, we need to be filled with the Spirit so we can hear that counsel and we can take that and absorb that and be able to use that. And being full of the Spirit is not just for men of God. It's not just for going out soul winning or going out sharing the gospel or visitation. We need to have the Spirit then. But we need to have the Spirit guiding us in our life and providing us counsel as we hear the spoken word of God, as we see the creation around us, as we read the written word of God and we study his scriptures. We need to have the Holy Spirit moving in us, imparting that counsel to us. These three counselors, there's a spelling error. These three counselors all assure us that we have the mind of Christ according to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the record word of God, evidenced by the working of God, will in the walk of his church. What happened there? There's no period? That's one sentence? Let's try that again. These three counselors all assure us that we have the mind of God, Christ, according to the indwelling Holy Spirit and the recorded word of God, evidenced by the working of God's will in the walk of his children. So these three different counselors or part of God, things that God uses to counsel our lives work together to show us that God, the evidence of God working in our life and the wisdom that he'd have us learn. The counsel God gives through the Word is living. The Lord Jesus is the living Word as well as the written Word. Christ is the Word. Christ is the counsel of God. He used the Word, and anything that he says we can take in it, and it's a living Word. It's not something that a scholar, you know, it's not something that Aristotle said, you know, hundreds and years ago, and it was a good statement, you know, whatever. He got, by the way, he got that knowledge from God. But God's wisdom, God's knowledge, the book of Proverbs, and any part of the scripture, you can read and you can apply that to your life today. The things that were written hundreds and thousands of years ago by the men who wrote the scriptures, the truths that they wrote still apply today. God has not changed. His counsel has not changed. And there is no need for change because the counsel that he gives is a living counsel for everyone. And the wisdom that he gives is a living wisdom that will always be true. It will always work. The principles and the recipes for success, the things that he shows in nature doesn't change. The laws of gravity don't change. And hundreds of years, thousands of years ago, there was no law of gravity, and now there is. The laws that God has set up in nature do not change. When they're not, we can't bend them. We can't break them. If we break them, there are consequences, and we look at that in nature. The same goes for his scripture. The counsel, the principles, the rules, the promises that he's made do not change. They're living promises that transcend generations. They go beyond the circumstances that are happening in the world. Well, it's different now. It's just harder to live a certain way in America, or it's harder, you know, it's a communist country. We can't worship God. That doesn't excuse you. I'm sorry. That doesn't excuse you from the principles and the commandments of God, the circumstances that you're in. It doesn't change the counsel of God. God doesn't have a different answer for those in one situation and for those in another. If it's right to come to church, it's right to come to church. It doesn't matter what your situation is. If it's right to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, then what your situation is, unless you physically can't get up, you should do all that you can to be in church. God's counsel doesn't change. It's something that is written down, and it's always been the same, and it will always be the same. It'll be eternal, his counsel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the very wisdom of God. And that will stand forever above all man's wisdom. And again, any wisdom that we have is from God anyways. But, you know, whatever wisdom somebody's claimed, well, you know, I learned this, that, you know, I know God, or this Bible or scripture says one thing, but this just seems to work better. Well, maybe for a time, it perhaps could do something, but according to God, according to the Bible, His counsel is the true counsel. His counsel is His wisdom is above any of man's wisdom, and it will last forever. Our Lord is a comfort and a counsel to His children. And again, we need to, as we study, I didn't get to the other one. But as we study these names, I don't know how many more lessons there are in these names and titles of God in Sunday school. But as we look at these, we need to take these because they're all given by the Bible, the Scripture, and we can learn and apply them to our lives. Again, just the fact that following the example of Christ as the counselor in our lives, when not just to learn and pile up knowledge on ourselves, but to take that wisdom and knowledge and help others with it. That's what God wants to do, and to access that we have. You know, how many times in life, I don't know that I can think or I can remember, is you know, going through something or you know, have a question about something or you're not sure on something. You know, we don't. I don't find many places. In fact, I don't know if there's any places in the Bible where God says you're on your own, figure it out on your own. God's always willing to help. God says He'll impart His wisdom. He'll impart. He gives it liberally, and He wants to give you blessing. He wants to give you wisdom and knowledge to know how to do things. We don't have to figure things out on our own. We don't have to go through life and I don't talk to anybody for counsel. I don't talk to anybody about for my marriage. I don't talk to anybody about my family. I don't talk to anybody about it. I'm going to figure things out on my own. You know, okay, maybe you can, maybe you can. I'm not going to say that someone's not smart enough to figure things out on their own. But I never want to feel like I have to do that, because God never says, in this area, I'm not saying anything, you figure it out. No, God wants to help us. God wants to counsel us in every area of our life, no matter how small or how simple it might seem. He wants to help us. So we have this huge resource. We have an omniscient God who knows all the answers and all the questions, and He provides His Word. He provides a man of God who studies day after day and prays and seeks the counsel of God to be able to share with us. He's created this unbelievable nature, this world, that we live in, that we can look around and see His laws and His how He's set things up, and He's given us all of this. Let's not take it for granted. Let's not brush it aside and ruin our life because we thought we had to figure everything out on our own. But let's take. We have a wonderful counselor. We have a wonderful counselor who is able to not only provide us with the counsel, but provide us with the ability to help others around us. And as we come to Christmas time, sing those songs and think of what a great God you have. And when you hear the Christmas messages and you read the Christmas story from the Scripture that God has written, let's take time not just to read it as a story, but to try to glean some wisdom and knowledge from the Scripture, because that's why God's given it to us, so we can learn and we can help others and be a better Christian. So, service is coming up. Pastor will be here. He'll preach a sermon this morning. I challenge you, before the sermon is preached, we have the Holy Spirit who wants to impart counsel, who wants to reveal that counsel to us. Say a simple prayer before the service. You know, Holy Spirit, I know I pray. Maybe you pray for Pastor all the time. I know I pray for Pastor, that you give him your Holy Spirit, that you give him your guidance. Well, as I sit there and listen to Pastor and listen to your spoken word of God, let me receive that counsel. Any counsel that you might have for me today from the message, let me not just hear it in the message and think, oh, you know, what a great message and what a great truth. But let me take that and apply that counsel that you want to give to me. Holy Spirit, help me to listen with your ears and hear what you'd have me hear. And if we would approach the sermons and the lessons and the things that we learn, we go out to work this week. Holy Spirit, interact with this world and this thing. Help me to see something this week, something in this world this week that would teach me a lesson, that would teach me something, that would teach me some counsel. Because I know you're the wonderful counselor, and I know that you're able and you want to, and you reveal it. You say you reveal it in your creation. Help me to learn something this week. And if we would approach that and take advantage of the counselor, the wonderful counselor that we have, I think we'll find that things will become a little bit more enjoyable. Our life, our work, our family. If we're looking for things that God to teach us, you know, a lot of the other stuff will kind of fade away, and we'll go closer to God and be more and be more joyful and more. And because of that, others around us won't just see some miserable Christian, but they'll see somebody who is enjoying life and getting everything out of life that they can. So take advantage. God is a wonderful counselor. He reveals that to us. Let's go to Him for that counsel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word and the truths, and Lord, that you're a God who cares about us, that you're a God who wants to help us and wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. I just pray that we would come to you, that you would help us to learn, help us to see the truth and the wisdom that you have for us. And I just pray that you would just be with us today, be with pastors he preaches, fill him with your power, give him your wisdom, Holy Spirit, guide his words, and help us as we listen and we hear the words that he speaks. I just pray that you would move in our hearts, make our hearts ready to hear what you have for us today, and I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. All right.